Okay, as you guys can tell, Rich is still on vacation, so yes, he is. I don't look as good as him, so you guys can notice it right off the bat. So he'll be back next week, and for this week, I just ask you bear with me as we go through God's Word and listen to what God has to say to us this morning. Obviously, also the kids know it's Communion Sunday, so everybody's in here, and hopefully I don't bore you all to tears. And you guys can stay awake for a little while. And I knew that I was going to be speaking today and that the youth would be in here. And it's not that I made my message simple for them, because I didn't. I found that when I taught in the youth group, they're entirely capable of listening to anything that I had to offer them, and that they can handle complex thoughts and issues, and sometimes better than we can. But this morning, I put together a message that's basically got one point. It's just a one-point message. And I did it on purpose so that there would be clarity and that we could just drive the point home and be able to at least grasp what the point is. And then it'll be up to each one of us individually as to whether we're able to receive it or not. I knew that I was going to be teaching beforehand, so I had my message done earlier in the week and everything was finished, and I was just kind of looking at it every day to familiarize myself with it and just kind of get it deep into my heart and my head. And I ran across another verse while reading another article that kind of changed my perception of what I had written a little bit. And I thought it was important enough that I would share it with you. Because this morning we're going to be talking about the faith of Abraham. And this verse has to do with Abraham. So if you could turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18, in verse 27. In this passage, Abraham is interceding with God for Sodom. He's interceding on their behalf and also on the behalf of Lot, his nephew. Lot, his nephew, was living in Sodom, and the angels appeared at the tent of Sarah and Abraham, and the Lord revealed to him that he was going to go destroy Sodom. And at this point, Abraham is interceding for Sodom. He's asking, if there's 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? If there's 40, if there's 30, and he gets down, you know, if there's 5, if there's 3. And this is what he has to say in the midst of that. It says in verse 27, indeed, it says, then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. In this verse, we see that Abraham realizes who he is. He knows that he's but dust and ashes. And yet he still takes it upon himself to come before the Lord and to intercede for other people. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because it'll help us to understand all the things that Abraham goes through when we talk about his faith. Because this is the foundation and this is the beginning to realize that he is dust and ashes. We have other people in Scripture who come to this conclusion. Paul came to this conclusion. In the letter to Timothy, he says, I'm the chief of all sinners. One of the greatest apostles who ever lived, prophets, healers, speakers, teachers, preachers in the church, realized that he was the chief of sinners, that he was a sinner, and before God he was dust and ashes. When we read the parable that Jesus spoke about the Pharisee and the tax collector while they're in the temple praying, and the tax collector is praying all this stuff basically to himself, patting himself on the back, telling himself what a great guy he is and how glad he wasn't like the tax collector, what did the tax collector say? He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said he went home justified after he was done praying. And so this is the foundation of our faith, realizing that we have fallen away from God and we need a Savior. And Abraham came to that point. And he came to that point in the midst of interceding for others. And it's just something for us as we speak about Abraham's faith to realize that he got to that point where he realized it's not all of you who are sinning or wrong. It's me. I'm messed up. I'm wrong. And I need to acknowledge that before God. And so going into the rest of the study, we'll keep that in the back of our minds, hopefully, and it might add a little clarity even more to these things that Abraham went through and help us to understand how he did come to that point of knowing that he needed God and he needed help. And it opened the door for him, for his faith to become a living faith. So to start off, we kind of have a different place to start off talking about Abraham today, but this is where we're going to start. So if you could go to the book of James, into chapter 2 of the book of James. I'll start in verse 14 and go down to verse 23. And it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.'" The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, calls Abraham the father of us all. All of us who believe in Jesus Christ are sons of Abraham by faith. There are physical descendants of Abraham. The Jews, the Arabs, they're physical descendants of Abraham. But we are just as much, and even more so, sons of God, those who believe through the faith of Abraham. Our faith is based on his faith. When we take a look at his faith this morning, it's a picture of how our faith should be. He's a good example of someone who believed in God and lived out his life through faith. And this morning, I really just want to ask one question. What was the faith of Abraham? What makes Abraham so special? To do that, we'll go into the book of Genesis a little bit and read a couple of passages. And I don't expect to make a perfect exposition of Abraham's faith this morning. Like I said, I got one point, and I think it's the most important point for us here today to look at and to see about his faith. And so let's go over to Genesis in chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the family of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan." We see here that Abram had a faith that was active. God told him to get up and go, and he got up and went. It needs to be said that this all didn't happen instantaneously and it wasn't perfect. There's other passages of Scripture which relate to us that he did it kind of in stages. And he didn't do it all at once. He didn't do it immediately, like I said, and neither did he do it perfectly. But the thing is that he did it, and he obeyed. He got up and left where he was and went and followed after God because God asked him to. And this is the thing that I want to look at. Abram had an active faith. He had a real faith. He was called to leave his entire world behind. If you see here, God said, leave the place where you live, leave your family, leave everything, and follow me. And in that, his faith is like our faith. In Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Abram, in a sense, he went to the cross. His old life was crucified and buried, and he followed after the Lord in a new life. This whole idea of what God said, leave where you're at and come with me, not knowing where he was going, but knowing that he was following God, this is what we do. This is why he's such an important picture to us. He's doing the same things 3,500 years ago that we are doing today. And if we follow his example, we have the opportunity to be led into the presence of God. Our next passage is going to be in Genesis 15. So just a couple chapters over, and we'll go to verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. After a matter of time, God began to reveal new things to Abram. God stretched his faith. He told him things that seemed impossible and then waited to see how Abram was going to respond. This idea that Abraham was going to have a son was almost ridiculous physically. We read back in chapter 12, he was 75 years old. Here in chapter 15, he could be around 85 years old. I don't know exactly how old he is, but this is even before Ishmael was born. And Ishmael turned out to be 13 years old before Isaac was born, the son that he's promised in this passage. So we see that he's getting to be an old man. He's 85, 90 years old, something like this when this is being said, and his wife is 10 years younger than him. His wife is past the age of bearing children. This is all a physical impossibility, plus the fact that Sarah had been barren her whole life. And God gives him a promise which seems impossible, and yet he believes God. And this, it can't be stated how important this is, that he believed what God said. Hebrews says that it's impossible to please God without faith. And here, he shows his faith by believing what God said. But his faith didn't only consist of belief. When we look at this passage here in chapter 15, it doesn't reveal it right here, but his faith consisted of something more. And it had to do with personal action, that he was actually going to move. that Abraham himself was going to follow after God. Yes, he believed, and he needed to believe, because following after God in unbelief would be a waste of time. But following after God in belief will see that his faith becomes mature and it's full grown. This verse 6 in chapter 15 says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." I want to hold on to that verse. We'll come back to it, but it's the most important verse of all these passages that we're reading. And what I want us to understand is that Abraham's faith moved. It was alive, and it wasn't static. Static means that it shows little change or action or progress. If you're static, you're really not going anywhere. But that wasn't Abram's faith. His faith was moving. We saw that when God spoke to him, when he was in, it doesn't say in this passage, but he was in this town called Ur of the Chaldeans, which is way down in Mesopotamia. And God called him out of there, and he moved, and he went. And this is what we want to grab a hold of. We've got another passage here in Genesis 22, and it's a long passage. And I know that I might lose some of you on it, but it's important. It's very important. In Abraham's life, this is what it all comes down to. And so I'm going to take the chance of you guys all falling asleep. I'll clap my hands or something if I see you guys gone when I'm done. And I will pray that I can get through this without tying my tongue in a knot. So it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abram built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Moses' statement in Genesis 15:6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness," is fulfilled in Genesis 22. Abraham's faith was made complete by his willingness to draw near to God through his actions. Abraham was tested at this time in his life. God knew what Abraham would do. I don't know that Abraham knew what Abraham was going to do, But there came this time of testing. And Abraham had been walking with the Lord for a long time at this point. And when we go back and read the other passages of Genesis, we see that there was many times that he fell down, many times that he fell short. But he kept getting up again, and he kept trying, and he kept going forward. Let's go back to James here in chapter 2 where we started. So we're going to read verses 21 and 23. And it says there, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Abraham's faith was alive, it lived, it breathed, it moved, and it gave him the opportunity to become the friend of God. When I knew that I was going to be able to speak to the young people this morning and being in here, I wanted to have something to say to them, because it's funny, I'm getting pretty old, but I remember being in church when I was 13, 14, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't wait for that service to be over. It seemed like the longest thing in the world. And I want to say something that's not to point fingers, but it's exactly what's going on today. These little blue cards that everybody likes to raise up, you know, to say, hey, you know, do your prayer chain. I clean up the church on Thursday nights, you know, after it's done, I straighten it up. And I found a little blue card the other day, and it's a conversation between a couple kids, you know, just like you always do. And I'm not going to read the conversation. No, I'm not, because then it'll put the person on the spot. And that's not what I want to do. That's not what I'd want to do. But I want to read the first sentence. You guys ready? It says, "I'm bored." And you know what? So was I. And I don't have like this special answer, what you need to do to not be bored. But I got to tell you something. And this is for all of us. When we believe in the Lord, and we say that we believe in the Lord, it takes more than just saying, I believe in the Lord. And for the youth who are sitting here wondering, you know, why are my parents bringing me here all the time? Why are we doing all this stuff and the whole world's doing something else? And why am I in here and the whole world's going on out there? There's something I gotta tell you that it's not an easy thing, and it's that you gotta try. You gotta try. You may believe in the Lord, but you gotta try to draw near. Jesus uses the word strive. You gotta strive. That means you gotta really try. You gotta strive to enter that narrow gate. The whole world's out there. And it's got everything to grab your attention that you could ever want. And it's got all your desires and all these things that are aimed at your natural inclinations. And you can, that door is so wide, you could drive a truck through it. You could drive 100 trucks through it. And you can just go out and go. And yet the Lord is calling us to go through this little narrow thing that you got to expend effort to go through. When I first, I'll go back to when I was 14, sitting in church and wanting to leave. At some point, I did go to my parents and said, I don't want to do this no more. And they said, okay. And I went out, and I went through that giant door. And I went and I did my thing. And then I came back because I had been taught growing up about the Lord, and I had succeeded in making a mess out of everything. And I came back and I said, okay, Lord, I believe. I'll follow you. I'll do whatever you want. And then I thought everything was just going to be okay. And it wasn't okay. And I thought I did the things that I needed to do, but looking back on it, I really didn't try. And so what did I do? I walked away from the Lord. And I went back into the cement mixer for X number of years again. And then I came back. And what I'm learning ever so slowly through this thick head that I've got is that I got to strive to draw near to God. God is calling. God came to Abraham, and Abraham didn't have anything to do with it. God just came to Abraham and said, Abraham, leave this and come follow me. And it's the same thing that he's calling us. Leave your old life behind and come follow me. But today I want to make the point that it takes work. It takes work on our part. And if anything that I could tell you kids and even the adults in here is to don't give up and keep trying. If any of you followed me around for one day, you would see what a pitiful mess I make out of my life. How much I hurt people who are close to me. How much I try to grab circumstances and pull them to myself. I'm like a black hole who tries to just suck everything into himself and make the universe myself. That's when Dan said today, it's all about Drew today. I'm like, oh my gosh. We're all going to get sucked in and it's all going to be over. Rich is going to come back and there's going to be a crater. You know, there's nothing. But that's the reality. I'm an assistant pastor, woohoo, but I'm still trying to make everything go my way. And I'm still trying to pull it all in. And I'm still trying to do what I want to do. And that's death. It's total death. And if I persist in that forever and ever and ever, what's my end? Now, there's hope. Because we see in Abraham's life that he stumbled and fell many, many times. And he did many wrong things. We didn't read the passage about Ishmael today. How did he end up with Ishmael? Well, he kind of went deviated from what God told him. God told him, you're going to have a son. Abraham believed, but when it didn't happen real quick, Abraham and Sarah kind of got another idea and said, well, why don't you go have a baby over here? But we read in these passages that God recognized Isaac, the promise, as the son. He says, your son, your only son. Isaac was his son, but he wasn't the son of promise. God fulfilled his word. God was faithful. And this is the thing to remember, that God will be faithful to us. But we got to strive to draw near to God. And it's a difficult thought. Because sometimes we interpret what we're hearing as God's grace is sufficient for me no matter what I'm doing. And is that true? Very possibly. And maybe not. But if we strive to draw near to God, the scriptures tell us that God will draw near to us. And this is the thing. I know I keep saying it over. I love to say things 50 times in a row. But we'll get back to the study here. But I just want to tell you guys, you got to try. You got to try. And if you try, God said, I will respond. There's another passage that kind of has to do a little bit with this over in Ephesians, and I want to take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 2. And it starts in verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want to grab one verse out of here and take a look at it, and it's verse 7. And it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Our future in Christ involves us growing in grace for all eternity. This verse 7 says that God's going to be showing us how much he loves us for all eternity. We're going to continue to grow and grow in grace forever. And our faith today is the seed of that future reality. If my faith is static and not growing today, what is it going to be in all eternity if it won't grow? When God's plan for us is that we would be growing in grace forever and ever and ever. When Adam was created and put into the garden, he was perfect. Adam was sinless. And yet, Adam wasn't static. His relationship with God was growing and growing. He was coming to know the Lord more. The Lord was teaching him about the garden. The Lord brought in all the animals, and Adam named them. The Lord created Eve. All these things, even though Adam was perfect and in paradise, he was growing and growing. And God's plan for him was always to grow for all eternity and for all of humanity to be growing forever. And then that fateful day came when Eve listened to the deceiver and disobeyed God, and Adam followed after. And all that came to a stop. And that's why God sent his son to come down to the earth to redeem us from that situation. Now, God became a man to restore the relationship that was broken. And once that broken relationship has been restored in us, his plan now is to pick up where we left off when our father Adam fell. And that is for us to grow in grace for eternity. Jesus said, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Abraham's faith, by the grace of God, bore fruit. We are sons of Abraham by faith. That seed grew, and it's producing. Through trusting God, Abraham allowed himself to become God's workmanship, performing the good works that the Lord prepared for him to walk in. By obeying the Lord and doing what the Lord had said, then Abraham was able to be used by God. And God had all these works prepared for Abraham beforehand, and Abraham was willing to walk in them. And that's the same for us. We all have things that God has prepared for us to do. But we can only walk in those things if we're willing. And if we actually move. You can't walk without moving. And so this is what it's all about with our faith. We got to move. Because Abraham believed and obeyed, God was able to use his life to prefigure the sacrifice of his own son on the cross. This whole thing in chapter 22 is 1,500 years before Christ was crucified. And yet we see it and know it as a picture of his sacrifice for us. And we even believe that the angel of the Lord who is speaking to Abraham from heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Speaking to Abraham, wanting Abraham to obey and believe and paint the picture of salvation for all of humanity for our benefit. So we can see that this just isn't something that we pulled a rabbit out of a hat or the apostles did 2,000 years ago. This is something that's been in God's plan from the beginning. I read a quote the other day, and some of us might not agree with this quote, and it's okay. If you don't agree with it, you can come up and give me an earful after the service. Please wait till the service is over. Don't start yelling now, but... This is important. It really grabbed me as a needed thing to hear. It says, "You must hope in God's providence, coupled with your own striving, but the Lord is ready to help. Do not simply hope and leave it at that, but with hope in God's mercy, undertake the task." So I'll read it one more time. "You must hope in God's providence, coupled with your own striving, but the Lord is ready to help. Do not simply hope and leave it at that, but with hope in God's mercy, undertake the task." One more time to the youth since I got you. I'm going to milk this one. You may hope in the Lord right now, and God bless you. And it's absolutely right that you hope in the Lord, but you got to undertake the task, guys. And the task is to follow after him, to deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow him. This is what you need to do. This is what I need to do. It's what your parents need to do. And it involves suffering, and it involves work. All you got to do is try to deny yourself for 5 minutes, and you'll figure out how much work it is. And then if you actually are able to do it, you'll begin to suffer for it, because it means telling yourself no. And if you follow after the Lord, you're going to find that it's a long road. You guys are 14, 15, 16, 18. What are you going to do when you're 50? You know, got to keep chugging along. But the Lord's faithful, and the Lord provides. Abraham had hope, and he accomplished the task. In hope, he undertook the task, and because of this, his faith was made perfect. He gave the Lord dust and ashes, but in return, he received beauty and joy. And the Lord made him a tree of righteousness. We look at Abraham as a righteous man, and rightly so, because he believed God and he obeyed. And we can follow his example, and we can be pleasing to God. And we can do this in reality. It's not just something that's way far away, because the test is coming, guys. Each one of us in here, if we're not already being tested, and if we've not already been tested multiple times, the test is coming. And if we don't have a living, breathing, moving faith, when the test comes, what's going to happen? Today we've got communion. So while the guys are coming up to help give out the communion and the worship team's coming up, I'm going to wander around here a little bit, and then we'll do a prayer and prepare our hearts for communion.